Church, what a great joy it is to see you. If you were up driving this morning, fog was an issue. Has it lifted? Excuse me, let's try that again. Has the fog lifted?
Yes.
All right. You know, as I said earlier this morning, there are times in our lives when life is foggy. But just as the fog has burned off, we know that when Christ is a part of our lives, that indeed that fogginess goes away, and we have a clear view as to how life is and indeed should be. So it is our hope and prayer that as we gather today to worship and celebrate gifts and blessings, that indeed that fog might be lifted and we will see clearly as God enables us to see. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. Moving right along. How many went and ate pancakes? Were they good?
Yep.
Ah, good. Good. How many vote for that every Sunday? We might have to make a donation if we do that. Sounds like a good way to get together. Okay. How many made it to Sunday school this morning? Good. All right. Way to go. There's something for everybody. Okay. Speaking of something for everybody, there's a woman's Bible study coming along. Read your bulletin, please, for everything that's coming up. There's also going to be an Advent devotional put together, so you might check that out. There is a table in the back with information on it you can fill out. And can you hear me now? Okay. I just want to make sure. Some people have trouble hearing me. Okay, check out your bulletin for all the things coming up. There's some new upper rooms out there and some new studies going on, too. Diane has an announcement about music.
Today starts all of the Sunday afternoon music groups, and I want to clarify some of what's in the bulletin. It says 345 TAFC. This is for any teenager who might like to sing in the church, anyone from grade 7 up. So it'll be just a brief meeting so I can get some names and see if there's any interest. The bells are at 4 and sunshiners at 4:50. If there are any young children, early elementary perhaps, who've never rung before and would like to start, if you would come for 5:30 for a very, very brief time so I can see what the interest is and we may be able to start up the chime group again. I would urge all of you parents to encourage your children to take part in these music groups, not just because of the music, but because we try to teach them to be worship leaders and to fill a role here in church that's very important. So encourage your children to come and sing and or ring with us. Thank you.
I think the pastor has an announcement also.
Some people have been asking today how last evening's worship service went. Last night was the kickoff for the alternative worship service where we met upstairs in the youth room. It's sort of been in the making for quite a while. And so last evening we started, the order was we had a welcome, had a couple songs, prayer, offering, a song, scripture, sermon, and then ended with another song and had some cookies and refreshments afterwards. It was well attended. We had 45 people present, which was a great way to start that service. Two of those individuals were ones who have attended here in the past, but were looking for an alternative service, so had been going elsewhere. Seven of the individuals were brand new that saw the advertisement and decided that they would come and see what was going on. So we certainly were encouraged, are encouraged, and typically statistics say that anytime your worship center place is 60% full, that it's time to either add a second service or to build. 45 people in that room was probably 95% full. And if that continues, then we're going to have to find another place because it was pretty tight. But it was a great tight to experience our first time. As I think I said here earlier a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago, and I said last evening when I put the Saturday evening into my service and told it to repeat, it gave me some choices. The maximum choice was 5 years, and so it's in my calendar for the next 5 years. This is not something that we are saying we're going to try it for 6 weeks or 6 months. We've added a third worship service. And I want to say again, the talk is not N-O-T, to replace one of the two Sunday mornings. It's a third service that we will keep and maintain these two and the one then Saturday night. So continue to keep that service and all the services as we begin this fall schedule in your prayers.
Are there any other announcements? I do have one. I promised last week to tell you about conference. And not too many of you have been to conference. It's held every year, usually in June. And at least one person from this church goes, usually there are two plus the pastor, and it's a huge, big meeting because it's all of the Methodist churches in Western Pennsylvania that are represented there. You have to be registered and have a pass to get into the main meeting area. There's another area behind that where anyone can come and see what's going on. You don't get to vote in that area. You have to be a registered member of conference to be able to vote. There are legislative meetings where each item that's to be voted on gets discussed by a small group, and it's decided whether to present that for vote or present it for discussion and then vote, discussion by the whole group. Most of the items go through without too much of a problem. Some of them require a little more discussion within the legislative group and then within the whole group, which is very interesting to see, to get different opinions and see how things come together. When the vote is taken, there's a green piece of paper, regular 8.5 by 11 paper for yes, and a red paper for no. This does not apply to our church. We will not be voting for, the preacher seems a little relieved to hear that. And the choir too, we won't vote for the choir. Come join us, then that would be your good vote. So choir, there is a choir at conference, and then the whole conference sings, and it's just beautiful because you have all kind of parts being sung, and it's really a great experience, a great worship experience. Starts out with a worship service and communion, and it was amazing to me to see all these people, and they have a lot of different stations, and people just file through and take their communion and fellowship with one another. I've been thrilled to go to meet some of the former pastors that we've had here and lay people that I've met through lay school. There are also lay classes that that the lay members can go to, and good food. It's at Grove City College, and they have some good cooks there. Most of the food I've had has been fine, been just really good. My capacity is not great, but I usually manage to sample a little bit of everything. So I would suggest, if you want to see some of the things that were voted on, they are on the web, Methodist Church, Western Pennsylvania, United Methodist Church Conference website. And it's been a very good experience. I would encourage you to go, even if you just went for maybe a day, just to see what goes on there. If you have any questions, other questions, please get in touch with me or get on the website and take a look. Anything else? Okay, let's go. Let's join together in the call to the worship. Please stand. Sing a new song to God. Praise with dancing and joy.
Praise with lyres and love.
Rejoice with strings and drums.
Rejoice with justice and peace.
Join me in the opening prayer, please. Holy One of ancient times, we enter your presence to remember and rejoice. Cover us with your love, that we may put on the protection of your steadfast faithfulness. Guide us with your love, that we may seek reconciliation with true repentance and genuine forgiveness. Strengthen us with your love, that we may pursue justice and live compassionate lives with gratitude in remembrance of your mighty gifts, we pray. Amen. And let's join in singing hymn number 155. Children, be sure to come forward on the last verse.
Thank you. visiting today? Wow. And how has your week at school gone? Here she comes. Yay! So, here she comes. So did you have a good week? Here comes another one. What did you do exciting this week? Well, had it or it's coming. You were going to have your first soccer game. Cool. And you had a soccer game. First one of the year. First one of the season. Okay. Do you love soccer?
Yeah.
What else do you love? Playing outside. That's much better than sitting in front of the TV. What do you love? Your mommy and dad are having a date night. You love that because you're going to get to go to a babysitter. And I'll bet your mom and dad are going to love date night. My wife and I went out on a date Friday night. We went too for dinner. You went to Old McDonald's? Does Old McDonald live on a farm? Do you know old McDonald was a poor speller? How many of you were thinking that? Come on. All right. Why was he a bad speller? Because he, how do you spell cow? C-O-W-E-I-E-I-O. Like last year? No, you're not. What grade are you in? So Mr. McDonald came. You mean like Old McDonald Farmer or McDonald from McDonald's?
McDonald's.
Not the clown McDonald's, from Ronald McDonald. Incidentally, when you see the Taco Bell commercial, the one Ronald McDonald I know, the one from Kane is a funeral director. Did a lot of funerals with Matt. They nickname him. Yeah, but I know a Ronald McDonald, but he doesn't have red hair and a red nose. But do you love hamburgers from McDonald's or Wendy's?
They have red noses.
Clowns do have red noses. Do you have a pet at home? Yeah. Cat or dog?
I've got a dog. I've got two dogs and a rat.
A tarantula and a rat.
And a fish.
And a fish. I thought I had odd pets. All right. Do you love your pets? Give them snuggle hugs. What do you have, honey? Yes. Do you have stuffed animals? Do you sleep with a favorite stuffed animal? Or a blanket? I hit a good one there, huh? What? What did she give you? Well, you know, we talk about loving things.
And I love my elephant.
You're who?
My elephant.
Okay. But you know, sometimes when we talk about loving things, somebody said at the early service, we like things, but we need to love people. Do you love your moms and dads? Yes. Your brothers and sisters? Oh, let me think about that one, huh? Yes.
I got two doggies.
Two doggies.
Yeah.
Real?
At my dad's house.
Okay, two doggies. And so we should love our brothers and sisters, our moms and dads, our grandmas and grandpas, and everybody. And Jesus talks about loving everybody. Sometimes that's hard to do. I know, I had brothers and sisters. I know. I was just reading the other day, those of us that are parents and have children, at some point around the age of 14, 15, 16, they're not going to like us. So at some point, you're not going to like your mom and dad, but you always need to remember to love them because they love you regardless, just like Jesus loves us all the time and wants us to love everybody as well. So remember that. It's a hard lesson, but you can do it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these children, for their joy and excitement, we are grateful. We pray that you will continue to bless them and use them great ways outside of the walls of this church to love everyone that they meet every single day. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me get some cups here.
Choir anthem today is a prayer, and it is partially in Hebrew. And so I would like to tell you what we're singing. El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, means God Almighty, the Most High God, O Lord. El Shaddai, Erkamkana Adonai, means God Almighty, we will love you, O Lord.
Our responsive reading is found on page 861, Psalm 148. Please join along. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens, and praise the Lord from the heights.
Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars.
Praise the Lord, high heavens, and all the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded that they were created.
Who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all the deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all cattle,
creeper things, and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven.
God has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
At this time, the ushers will come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. Of abundance, we bring these gifts to you, acknowledging you as the source of all blessing in our lives. We have spent and overspent our resources on things that attracted our attention, but didn't begin to satisfy the needs within us. Help us to live wisely, to give generously from the deep gratitude for your love. May our lives reflect the words of your apostle, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except certain continuing debt we have to love one another." We ask this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. I invite you now to turn on the back of our worship folder for our joys and concerns. Donna, she's listed on the bottom there of this month's prayer list. She's had some back surgery this past week and is in Mercy Hospital. So we'll want to continue to remember her in our prayers. And Dale has been discharged from McKeesport Hospital, and he now is in RNC facility. That is off Route 30. The restaurant right there at that intersection is Boulevard, but probably the, well, for some of us, the bigger indicator is Gander Mountain. It's that exit, and then you make a left and go up in behind there. So I'm sure that they will covet our prayers. Also, you'll see printed also Christine passed on Wednesday. Chris's services were yesterday. Now, that's what June's daughter-in-law and Tom
is your son. So did I get that all right? I need a road map sometimes to keep that all straight. So Christine was one of 10 children and the first one to pass. So it was one of the larger funerals we've had in a while, and a luncheon was served downstairs. And, you know, I might add, those ladies do a phenomenal job of serving the meal. People are just amazed that they will do that. And even they have come to me and said, you know, David, when you have a funeral and they're not connected to this church, if they want a luncheon, we will still do it. And they always have smiles on their faces. So I am grateful for that ministry, because it is certainly something that our church can add. You know, the family said in some of the other places, you know, they just can't handle 100 people like that, and not having a definite number. You know, we just say, oh, 75 plus, and the feeding of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and there's always enough food. So, you know, we are grateful for them as well. So keep that, what do they call themselves? The Good Samaritans. Keep them in your prayers as well. Other individuals there, you can see those listed in our personal care homes, those that continually we keep in our prayers, as well as those that get added on a monthly basis. And then the beginning of every month, we kind of clean that out unless they are placed back on again. So let us continue now to unite our hearts and our spirits as we share together in our prayer hymn number 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Gracious and loving God, thank you for welcoming each and every one of us this day into your home.
Thank you, O God, for welcoming us into your presence. Thank you, O God, for offering to us saving power and presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, for offering to us grace and forgiveness. Thank you, O God, for offering to us a love that will not let us go. A love that holds on to us. A love that seeks to every single day reshape and remold us, to recreate within us a right heart and a right spirit. Thank you, O God, for the gifts and blessings that you shower upon us. Thank you, O God, for the very lives that we live, for the opportunities to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you, O God, for the ability to be your servants in the world, to offer Christ, to share his good news, his words, his teachings. Thank you, O God, that you have enabled us to be. O God, we pray that we will faithfully live out this day. We pray that your love might permeate the very pores of our bodies, that your love might radiate forth from within each and every one of us, that others might see and experience and catch a glimpse of this love that will not let us go. Oh God, we are indebted to you for these gifts and blessings that you shower upon us every single day over and over again. Oh God, we come into your presence to say thank you. We come into your presence to lift up the hurts and the needs, the joys and celebrations of people in our midst. Those, oh God, in the hospitals. Those, oh God, who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Those, oh God, who are recuperating. Those, oh God, who have received devastating news. Those, oh God, needs that cannot be made public. Oh God, you know our needs before we even ask. You hear our prayers before they are even voiced. Oh God, we pray for your presence to be made known over and over again in our lives, for your presence to be made known in the lives of those who are on the edge, who aren't sure, who perhaps have never heard of your holy and precious name. Oh God, you send us forth because you call us, you challenge us, you empower us to be your servants, disciples, and church in the world. May we faithfully go to do, to be, to speak. Oh God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Listen and hear now these words of scripture that come to us from the book of Romans. Owe no one anything. Paul must not have known about mortgages and car payments and college tuitions. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to awake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably in the day, not in reveling. I had to look that word up. Loud partying, which probably goes with the next word, and drunkenness. Somehow I think the two go hand in hand. Not in debauchery, wickedness, and licentiousness, wastefulness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and hearing of the holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we are thankful for the teachings of Paul, this great servant in the life of the church. And now, O God, as we spend a few moments pondering his words, we pray that you will give us comfort and rest. Rest from the activities of everyday life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O God, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm kind of getting a lay of the land of the ages here. All right, a couple of you are still in school. A couple of you, you know, but for those of us out of school, we're going to take a little trip back to high school. Remember high school for a moment. Or if you're in it, remember it now as it is. Okay, maybe there's a lot of things you'd like to forget from your high school years. Peer pressure, the clothes we were wearing. Oh, good Lord. The hair, I had some. Somebody said to me, I'd like to see one of those pictures of you with hair. I said, well, I'll see if I can dig them out. But, you know, my style in high school was below the ears. And I had to be a little careful because this right side would go a little wild. If it got below my ear, it had this little flip out. But this side stayed close to my head. Gym class. Shorts in gym class, guys. One of our kids, either Andrew or Abby, they were looking at pictures of a basketball team and said, what the deal with those shorts? We all wore those. Oh, my goodness. How about some of those textbooks? We would probably all agree that some of those textbooks contained some of the most boring, mundane, and sometimes even most baffling statements you've ever heard or read in your life. How many of us have spent time during a test staring at words, wondering if a train's traveling 25 miles an hour from Poughkeepsie, New York, and it's passing another train that's coming from the West Coast going 35 miles an hour, where and when are they going to pass each other? How many times have you used that in daily life? That's what I figured. If you felt helpless for some of those problems in math class, it's probably because you just weren't and aren't even to this day skilled in math. But thanks to a website called Thanks Textbooks, it now offers a fascinating look at some of the countless ways in which it seems that those writers have tried to confuse the students. I mean, think back to some of those other problems. Did someone really eat 37 pieces of pizza? Maybe if they were on a football team, although today, let me see the pancakes, I think I heard because Philip and Abigail were having a contest. And I think Philip quit at 15. I don't know where Abby ended up, but it was slightly less. Do you really think that somebody contemplated the weight of his or her favorite orange? It's no wonder that most students look at some of those problems and say, when in the world am I ever going to use this? Freshman year, Mount Union College. I get my schedule, and one of the classes is calculus. I am a religion major. I went in and said to my advisor, why do I have / need calculus? Well, you know, we need to be well-rounded as clergy. Thank God there was a test the first day. I think I got 20 out of 100. I took creative writing. Even now, I have to think sometimes when algebra problems come home. I'm okay if there's one X or one Y, but you add an X and a Y, and that might cause steam to come out of my head. We may not remember all of those rules and regulations. What is it when you're multiplying a fraction by a fraction? When you're dividing a fraction by a fraction, you invert, turn upside down and multiply? Who just said that? Is that right? You turn upside down and multiply? Okay, I don't know when I'm ever going to need that, but that one is stuck in here. But there are some pieces of information that are valuable for us in our everyday life and living. And that's especially true when it comes to our Christian life. For that, we need both directions and practical application to help us deal with the everyday problems of life and living. Fortunately for us, we have Paul and the book of Romans. We might consider the book of Romans to be the textbook of Christianity. Now, Paul was not sitting around at a desk dreaming up problems to write about. He was writing about common, everyday problems that people were facing during the first century. Romans is not an easy book to read, I understand that, but it is a book that offers some very practical advice, useful advice for us in living the world today. You see, for Paul, as for Jesus, the primary answer to any problem that we might encounter is love. Owe no one anything, he says, except to love one another. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law. Now, the law that Paul is pointing to is clear back in the Old Testament at the beginning when the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments. Those 10 clear statements from the biblical textbook about the way life is to be when you are living in the midst of God's community people. But like any problem, word problem, staring at these commandments for a long period of time, we then begin to say, but I found a loophole there. I can get around it this way. I can act here and still fulfill. But Paul says these commandments, though, can be summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. And we know that that sounds a little familiar because Paul is echoing Jesus, because Jesus preached that the greatest of the commandments are to love God and to love one's neighbor. Of these two commandments, says Jesus, hang all of the law from all of the prophets. So whatever the question might be in our Christian behavior, be it all about eating, playing games, relationships, living in the world, being the church, Paul and Jesus say that the answer is Christian love. Now that's not an easy answer, especially when Jesus tells us that we're even called to love our enemies. Paul writes to the church in Rome, which is struggling because they're under the thumb of the emperor. Even when confronted with the power and the injustices of the world, the Christian's answer must be to respond out of love. Paul's talking about a Christian that loves, that forgives rather than retaliates, that promotes peace instead of conflict. Paul invites us to develop a new habit, develop the good habit of loving our brothers and sisters, which will then lead us to Christian success. That's Paul's textbook advice for us who are confronted in today's world with some strange questions and challenges. What is the right answer when your boss treats you or someone else in the office unfairly? What's the proper response when a friend gets the promotion or the scholarship that you thought you were in line for? What box do you check? What amount do you put in the box when you file your income taxes? How do you deal with that neighbor who takes their dog for a walk in your yard and does not carry a poop bag? How do you deal with the fact that there are just some people in this world with which you don't get along? What do you do with a problem in your current relationship? How do you handle a problem with your finances or your career? How do you respond to a problem with one or more of your family members? Do you have a problem or struggle with self-esteem, self-acceptance, your appearance, or your health? There are no easy answers. They all begin with that love that we experience through Jesus Christ, an unconditional, willful, sacrificial, Christ-like love. Paul and Jesus say that in the end, it's the answer for everything. Let's pray. Gracious God, for this day we give you thanks. Oh God, we know that we've experienced the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, a love that won't let us go, a love that was so great for each of us that he stretched out his arms and freely and willingly went to the cross, a love that we experience today in this holy meal, a love that we experience today that will not let us go, that has a firm grip upon each and every one of us, and a grip that is desired for the world. Oh God, continue to bless us, that we then might be a loving blessing to those this week. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We come together this day to remember that as the life of Jesus was coming to a close, that he gathered in that upper room with his disciples and probably some family and friends to share in that sacred meal, that Seder meal, that reminded the whole Israel nation of their deliverance from captivity and slavery in Egypt. A time when they were no longer slaves, they were set free. Bondage no more was a part of their life. And so on that night, Jesus gathered together. And as he picked up the bread, he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. Receive it, eat it, and remember me." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken then and broken now for you. And at some point during that meal, Jesus picked up a cup. He likewise lifted it to the heavens. He blessed it, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant. It is my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. Drink it and remember me." This morning we will be receiving communion by intinction. There will be two stations, one on each side. I would invite you to come under the direction of the ushers. If coming forward is a problem, elements will be brought to you. If you choose not to receive through intinction, elements are up here as well. I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, it's open communion. This table is not ours. It's the table of Jesus Christ. And Jesus invites all of us, regardless of our past, regardless of our presence, regardless of our future, we are all welcome to come. Christ invites us. Let us come. Gracious and loving God, we pray that your presence will fall and rest upon us in new ways, filling us and fueling us to be your loving servants out in the world. Oh God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Our gracious and loving God, dismiss us from this place that we might be enabled more so than ever to serve you, that the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, might radiate forth from within us, that others might see and experience his good news. For we go, O God, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.